Hey, everybody. It's October 29th, 2020. It's a Thursday here in Maine, and I assume it's Thursday wherever you are. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And actually, I thought too soon, though October 29th would be a Thursday. You might be listening to this on the archives. It could be any day of the week. So whatever day it is, week, it's the day I'm doing this, it's almost Halloween. So as I like to say, boo. Hey, welcome to today's Education Talk Radio. We've got our old friend back, Jason Carroll from Text Help, good friends of ours. He's the director of product management, and he's got a lot of if we've got a lot of background in this and a lot of info to share with us. All right, Text Help does literacy support software, which is a big deal up here where we are with the consortium on equity. He's trained a lot of people in all this, and he tries to make it easy to use products that help diverse learners of all ages succeed, and he does speak internationally on all this. And today he's going to tell us about what's new with Text Help, how they're doing with the pandemic and what they're seeing, and also the results of a study they just did. They partnered with Impact Ed to examine the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on education. So we'll see what the key takeaways are from that. We know all of this anecdotally, okay, but maybe this study can give us a deeper and better look at it. So Jason will be with us in just a second. As you all know, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Education Talk Radio is just a part of the consortium over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Please go over there, join our consortium if you're a pre-K-12 educator. It's obviously free for you guys. You can see our magazine, which is right on the site. It's an online journal called Equity and Access. You'll be impressed. Read it. You'll really, really, really like it. Okay, and you'll see an icon. All our podcasts are over there these days, so please check it out over at ace-ed.org. Okay, we do tweet over at EduTalk Radio. On LinkedIn, it's Larry Jacobs, and on Facebook, it's Education Talk Radio. Why they're all different, I have no idea. As I like to say, just a thing we did early on, and for some reason, that's the way it is. Let me bring Jason on right now, and it's spinning. There we go. I should do this before I introduce you. Hi, Jason. Welcome back.
Hey, Larry. How's things?
Things are pretty good, as a matter of fact, all things considered, that there's a pandemic out there, but we seem safe and sound here in Maine. How you doing down there in Kentucky, Tennessee?
Still in Kentucky. Things are about the same here. I mean, we're all getting by. I think we're all facing a lot of the same challenges, but yeah, I mean, I can't complain too much.
No, let's not complain because we're both still alive. That's good news. A lot of people
exactly.
died of this thing, 230,000 or something. So we're pretty lucky, and I hope everybody stays safe out there. You stay safe, my friend. I tried to do a nice job of introducing Text Help, where you're the director of product management. Why don't you do a better job and tell us all about Text Help so they can see where you're coming from as we talk about this study that you guys did?
Sure. I mean, Larry, I think you did a pretty good job there. You know Text Help pretty well. As you said, literacy support software is what we specialize in. Text Help's been around for over 20 years. A lot of people don't realize that. So we have a lot of experience doing that. And a lot of people probably heard of Read and Write, which is kind of our flagship product. Millions of students use that. More recently, we've gotten into math as well because obviously a lot of students struggle with reading and writing, and then right up there with that is math. So we've done a lot of stuff recently to help take that kind of, that math journey that a lot of students experience and turn that digital. It's difficult to, you think digital text and things like that are quite common, but when it comes to creating digital math and understanding math and having math read aloud and all that sort of stuff, there's quite a ways to go, so we've had a lot of success there recently as well.
And, you know, I'm going to ask you, I read this sentence, okay, that you guys have products that, quote, help diverse learners of all ages. And when I say the word, and we're very interested in this because we want to make sure that every learner, okay, has the opportunity here, gets what they need. That's what equity is all about, our consortium, et cetera. When you guys say diverse learners, well, when you look at the word diverse, are you talking about, I'll just throw it that way. When you see the word diverse, what are you talking about? How's diverse fit in with Text Help? Yeah.
Well, it's really, you know, I like to think of it as all learners. And generally when we talk, Larry, we're talking about education, right? But TechStop also has a big presence in the workforce for diverse learners as well. So when I say diverse learners, I could mean, I could mean anything from, you know, someone with dyslexia or some other condition that causes struggling with reading. Could even be a vision issue for as far as that goes. But then it goes on as well for, you know, a large population of people that speak English as a second language. There's just a lot of students, whether it be lack of instruction or tough home life or something like that as well, that just struggle with learning. And we just provide a lot of supports to help those students. I mean, really, I mean, if you look at the data from the Nation's Report Card or anything, any other similar study, you know, over half of students are scoring below grade level when it comes to reading and writing and math. And we just try to make tools that help them wherever it is they're at with that journey.
Right, and the reason I asked the question was that word diverse, quote, diversity, sometimes strictly refers to race. In some cases, it strictly refers to gender. And I wanted you to get a little bit deeper into that word because we're not really, per se, talking about that here. Okay, we're talking about the way they learn. Okay, doesn't matter what
race.
Right,
I think a lot
gender.
Of times.
Yeah.
I think the only real correlation there is a lot of times when you think about diverse, you can get into, you know, minority populations that have historically struggled in the education environment, and a lot of times we have tools that really help those populations succeed. But yeah, you're spot on with how you're explaining it there.
Yeah, thanks for the explanation. I just wanted to make sure people understood that because it's really cool stuff. What Text Help us? TextHelp.com, everybody. Check it out. It's really good stuff. Okay, and again, Jason's been with us a number of times. You guys did a study with Impact Ed. Okay, and this is interesting, I thought, to examine the impact, again, I'm reading this, of the COVID-19 pandemic on education. And I said at the beginning of the show, we've been anecdotal on that. I mean, we all know it has an impact. Okay, so what did the study tell you? How did you do the study? Who did it go out to? What prompted the study? Let's answer all those questions.
Sure. Basically, there's an organization, and they're out of the UK, but called Impact Ed, and as their name suggests, they're a nonprofit that really focuses on what actually makes an impact in education. So they do a lot of studies around that and gather a lot of data on those sort of things, and they help schools improve their impact, I guess you could say, based on the studies that they do and the information they find. And so, you know, it's no surprise. Everyone knows, like you said, that this has had an impact on education. But I haven't really seen a lot of real specific, I guess you could say, data from studies that have been done to look into it.
Exactly.
And it's as scary as we thought it was, I think, is my best way to describe it. I can't think of a situation to where there's been all kinds of things like natural disasters and things like this that have occurred that have impacted a specific group of populations, maybe because of the region they lived in. But this is really a worldwide impacting 180 some countries, every single student in the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, which was the main points of data for the study. Every single student has been impacted by this. And so not surprising from
amazing.
That. Yeah. Not only the students, but one of the things that pulled out of that
it's
were the
amazing,
parents,
you know,
right?
We don't think of it that way, but it's true.
Right.
And what else has impacted? I mean, maybe World War II, okay? But what else has impacted, okay, every single student basically in the world? Okay, certainly in the countries you mentioned. Okay, that's an amazing statement when you think about it. Thanks. That's a huge perspective.
It really is, and we'll be seeing the impact of this for years to come, from learning loss and just in general, and how education has changed. I mean, we'll be reading about this in history books, or at least some students
will
be, probably not too distant future. But you know, the study was great. I urge people to go check it out. I can talk through some highlights here, but on TechStop.com, there's a blog. You can look on the blog. It's published at the end of September, called Learning in a Changing Landscape, and there's all kinds of stats and stuff that go along with it, but really does a good job. We've kind of done an infographic of it on the blog, but you can click and link to the full 20-plus page report that gives you all kinds of specifics. But it really puts numbers around, like, parents that are struggling, right, because it is a changing landscape. Now not only do you work full-time, or maybe now you don't work because of this, but there's obviously stresses added because of that. and then trying to help your student learn during that, the increase in stress for parents, the increase in stress from students, the increase in teacher workload. You know, I'm not sure if people on the outside of education think, well, teachers now just get to go home and hang out. That is not the case. Now teachers are trying to teach all the students as they did before while learning all these technologies, right? Trying to learn all these new technologies and how do you teach in those environments. Just so much being put on teachers at the moment as well. That's definitely stressful. And then I think we talked about diversity there a moment ago as far as diverse learners with struggling learners. It's really deepened those longstanding inequalities that we've always known about, right? There's always been students with disabilities that obviously struggle in a classroom. Well, now that has really been compounded whenever you take them out of the classroom where they receive these supports and put them at home, and now they're trying to learn with the help of a parent through a computer, through Zoom, or whatever it is they're meeting with. And the same way with students, low-income students, that, you know, affording the technology sometimes to be able to have access to this instruction. You know, there's a quarter of students that just haven't even tuned in at all. And, and those are the students
that
probably needed it the most. So stuff there. There's just a lot of data in there that I found the thing fascinating while somewhat depressing at the same time. There is light at the end of the tunnel talking about, you know, what students do need to be able to succeed. And really the whole thing is motivation, because if they're at home on their own trying to learn, how do you motivate these students? And there's some ways technology can definitely help with motivations. We know that because we can see kids staring at their phone for 12 hours a day. So there must be something there that's motivating and engaging for them. So how do we harness some of that stuff, add it into our technology to help with learning there? So really interesting study, and it's really in-depth as well. So I encourage people to go and check it out.
Yeah, texthelp.com, everybody, for that. There's so much interesting stuff. And you just said, again, something very, very cool there is that, you know, kids can look at their phones all day. Adults can too, I might add. Okay, that's where your attention is. Okay, I'm more in the old fart line, so I'm not doing that so much. But most people do. Okay, and you know, you said if we can harness the power of that, okay, to education, and that might be one of the good things that comes out of this disaster. All right, is that we're able to relook at what motivates people right now, looking at their phone as an example, looking at a screen, okay, and making it more viable for them so we don't lose as many kids as we can. And I have to ask you something in particular, because you are an expert on assistive technology. All right, I just want you to define that. I know what it is, but I want everybody to understand that. And I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I bet you do. How has this affected people who really need assistive technology? So tell people, and it might be something to help them speak, okay, that sort of thing, or vision impairment, whatever. You just or some kind of physical impairment. But okay, but talk about, I guess those are physical impairments, but talk about as I said it, I realized I was just being redundant. But you know, talk about you know, the effect of this, and again, away from a schoolroom which has all the things they need in there. How's this affected people with assistive technology needs? And you're an expert on this.
Sure.
Case.
Yeah.
Whether you knew
sure.
it or not,
yes,
you're
I'm
an expert on this. Congratulations.
No. I've been in the assistive technology world for 20 years, so it's different. It's going to depend, of course. I mean, I think probably for the vast majority of students, they're going to be struggling more, because to start with your question of what is assistive technology, I mean, I think the federal definition of it is any item or piece of equipment that can help a student or any person with a disability to succeed, right? So assistive technology could be eyeglasses, it could be a wheelchair. The ways we generally talk about it, we're thinking more software devices or equipment, as you said, to help students speak or to help them see, maybe something with a monitor or something like that. So, I mean, on the bright side, students that are already skilled with assistive technology are probably going to be able to succeed in this remote environment. So if they were a struggling reader and they used screen reading or text reading software, right, to have access to content, well, now all that content's digital now. Used to, we always struggled because the content in a classroom was paper-based, and if you needed a screen reader to read that, how are you going to do that? Well, now all that content's digital. It has to be, because you're remote. So in that way, we've made some gains. On the flip side of that, there's a long process in getting students up to speed and getting them to be able to use that software proficiently. And students are missing out on that because parents, you know, they're not going to be trained in assistive technology and best practices for using it. And now that students aren't in a classroom to receive those services, there's going to be there's a whole year of loss here for those students, and those students are definitely struggling more than others. I do think there are a few bright spots, as I mentioned, because the students that were already using it can now transition to online learning more seamlessly. But yeah, for a lot of those students that really require those in-depth supports and training from skilled educators in the classroom, that's a real tall ask for educators to continue doing through Zoom or other video conferencing meetings.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, and I'll say this, everybody wants the kids back in school, but we want them back in school safely. Okay, and that's
exactly.
It's really just brutal out there, and it really is. And for particular groups, okay, it can be even more so. I got to tell you, Jace, talk about I want to do a little plug for TextHelp here. Put TextHelp into this, okay? We talked about kind of what they do, but get a little more specific. What are the tools they kind of offer, okay, that can help kids, especially those with particular needs in many cases, literacy needs, whatever, math needs, math literacy, okay, you know, get them a little more motivated. And I really do believe it's, you know, it's a technological age. All of a sudden we're all tech oriented, okay, you know, visual Zoom and all that sort of thing. Just talk about TextHelp. Put it in, what are you seeing, hearing, doing, et cetera, with your company?
Sure. Well, so we do a lot of things. One of the things I think that differentiates TextHelp that I've always appreciated, I implemented TextHelp products long before I ever even worked at TextHelp, and I've been at TextHelp for 9 years now.
Yeah.
One thing that TextHelp is really good at is taking tools, I would say like supports, reading, writing, math, wherever they are, and putting them in the environment you are already in. So I'll take that a bit further. If you're in a classroom and you do your work in Google Docs or in Microsoft Word and you have an email platform and you use PowerPoint or you use Google Slides, whatever it is that you use, you're out on the web in Chrome or you're in Edge and you're doing your research, wherever you're at, we just have tools that plug into those places so you can continue doing what you're doing the way you've always done it, but we add layers of support on that. So Read and Write is our most popular tool. It's a literacy support toolbar that just it just pops up at the top of your screen whenever you do it. It'll read any text aloud. If you're writing, it does word prediction. Kind of think about how when you're typing a text message and it predicts to help you with spelling and punctuation and all those sort of things. So we have word prediction for that. We have talking dictionaries and picture dictionaries. We do things like voice notes instead of typed notes, so you can leave voice notes for each other. Things like that. That's what Read and Write does, and it's going to work in Docs and Word and Gmail and Outlook and Chrome and Edge and PDFs and wherever you're at, it's just going to work there. And that's really important for those 50% plus learners that are struggling to make sense out of grade level content. Well, having a tool like TextHelp means you can just open your content like you always would, and you have those tools in front of you to help you succeed and understand and comprehend that content. That's just Read and Write. Similar with math, with Equatio. It's always been really difficult to create digital math. So a teacher, that may be a teacher creating digital math and then a student responding with digital math, it's always been really difficult to do that, which meant math classes were full of paper and pencil worksheets. Well, paper and pencil worksheets for some of those struggling populations that struggle with reading, struggle with writing, that's really difficult. Plus, motivation-wise, we already talked about kids generally like technology more than their paper and pencil worksheets. So we have a product called Equatio, and Equatio makes it where if you're in Docs or our own math space or you're on the web or you're in your LMS, you can easily create digital math, and you can do that by typing it with like word prediction, except it's math prediction. That's a pretty interesting thing. You can write it. It's very cool to use, and you can definitely go try it out if you haven't. It's really cool to see how the word prediction, or I should say math prediction, works. You can write math, and we'll automatically recognize the writing and turn it into digital math. You can even speak math if you want to, Larry. So you can say math, and it'll turn it into digital math for you and insert it into Docs or Slides or LMSs or wherever it is you need it at. So that's on the math side. One of the newer products we have that's doing really well at the moment is called RIQ, and RIQ is really meant to help with writing. There's a student and a teacher side to it, but what we found is there really isn't a good way like there is with reading to really analyze how much students are writing and if they're making writing progress. If you were to take a sample of student writing, there's not like a national norm set like there would be with reading fluency, for example, to tell you if a student is on grade level or not. So RightQ does that. You can pop into Google Docs, a student can, and write, and it gives students all sorts of motivating things while they're writing, like how long of a writing burst they made, and it gives them badges when they type a certain amount of math or English words. It does those kind of motivation things on the student side, but on the teacher side, it gives a dashboard full of valuable information that says, here's how much your students are writing. Here's their score on that. Here's how they match up in a percentile way with the rest of the nation when it comes to writing. Here's areas you may want to concentrate on. Here's how much time they actually spent writing. So there's all that kind of writing data that's never been available to educators before. You can do that with RightQ now just by installing it and letting students type, and then students can evaluate and our teachers can evaluate that and then move forward and plan instruction from there. So we're doing lots of exciting things. Those are kind of three of the top ones right now. We have other products.
They're
as well,
cool.
But hopefully that gives you a gist of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, again, it's texthelp.com, everybody. What grades are we talking about?
I mean, all grades, really, Larry. Obviously, I mean, if you're talking the writing stuff, you know, like with the RightQ I just mentioned, students are going to write more when they get into middle and high school. It can help for sure, you know, in younger ages, but I see that as kind of the sweet spot. We have a product called Fluency Tutor that's all about, here's some reading passages. The student reads them, and it listens to them read. Then the teachers get that recording so they can hear the students reading, give them feedback. That's more of it can definitely work for students who need interventions in older ages, but that's more of a learning to read elementary kind of product.
Mm-hmm.
Read and Write can be used, the literacy toolbar. That can be used with young students who are just learning, or it can be used with older students who are struggling to comprehend content. So really the whole K-12 spectrum, we're used in universities all over the place, and I already mentioned a lot of workplaces for people as well. So it really is one of our taglines, I think, is literacy to life. It's a lifelong kind of thing that we make support tools for. So.
Yeah, literacy is alive, I got to tell you. It's really amazing. And since we're now, I'm going to say this right, we've been in ed tech for a long time, but now we're so dependent on ed tech, okay? Have you seen an upswing, okay, an increase in the usage of the textile products since the pandemic started, or however you want to phrase that, from when to when?
Oh, yeah, we've seen a huge increase in usage across all products and installs across all products and inbound requests for more information and training requests and video watches. All these kind of things are up in every product over 100%, some much more than that on usage. And that's not just in the U.S., it's globally. Places that the pandemic we saw hit first, like Italy and places like that, we saw our analytics really spike there because of usage. So it really is a global increase in ed tech usage that we're seeing. And that's not only us. You know, general usage in the U.S. is up 150% across all ed tech. There are places like Google Classroom that saw a 500% increase at one time. And I know a lot of companies are seeing that huge increase come all at one time. They've obviously put strains on companies to be able to provide all those supports. I saw an article in the New York Times on that just the other day. So,
yeah.
Interesting times for sure, but it's obvious that EdTech is making
a
difference.
Huge.
Larry, I think that's
huge. It's huge. Yeah. You know,
well,
go ahead.
Sorry, Glenn.
I was going to say, go ahead.
Thinking that,
your thought.
Well, I was just thinking, like, this will have this is the new norm. You know, this pandemic will eventually, I have faith in the global population that will get through this. But I think we're going to be prepared for it to happen again. And to be prepared for if something like this were to happen again, the ed tech isn't going away. Schools are going to have plan for at any time we may have to go full remote. And if we have to go full remote, well, we're going to have digital tools for all this stuff. So we need to plan for that. We need to train teachers on that. We need to make sure everybody has access to the tools we need. Those one-to-one initiatives that started forever ago, well, those are obviously going to continue. I just think this will be a continued increase in usage that we'll see for the next bit, for sure.
And I agree with you. This is a real sea change, all right? And you use the phrase, and it's true, this is the new normal. Now, we are, of course, going to go back to school to a certain degree. But I honestly believe, and I think you do too, everything is going to be different. Okay, we learned from this, and hopefully we'll get some lemonade out of the lemons that just got thrown to everybody.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I have one last question. When teachers start to use text help, what's the questions, the main question that they ask? Okay, they get text help, they see it, all your products. I'm using text help generically there. What's a typical question they would ask?
Well, I think it depends on where we find them at. Text help, like I said, has been around for so long and has so many customers that we do such a good job of onboarding people these days. As soon as you install, you're going to get an email that welcomes you and links you to all the resources and stuff like that that you have access to. So, I mean, you know, the common questions we're going to get, usually by the time they've installed it, they have a really good understanding of what the software is meant to do. And then the questions they give are going to be, you know, one of a million different types. Like, we get tons of the questions, for example, on Equatio because of the nature of the product. It's a math product, and it does physics and chemistry prediction. And so some of the questions we get, I'm not capable of answering because it's like, how would I create this chemical structure? And I'll have to pass that on to our product manager who looks
your
over
chemical structure
all
guy
that
who didn't even know
that.
He was one until you gave that job.
Yeah,
right. You're the chemical structures guy. Good luck. Right.
So, I mean, you know, now if somebody's stumbling on us for the first time, they're going to have all kinds of questions about, well, how do we help with reading? How do we help with writing? How do we help with math? You know, all those kind of questions, which we can easily answer. But generally, somebody finds us through some piece of marketing or a referral, and when they pop up to look at us, they see videos, and it has all that information there, or they read articles about us, and they already have a pretty good gist of what we do, and then it's just a matter of those specific questions to help those real specific learners. To which we have a whole team that can answer those sort of things as well. Did I lose you?
Jace, can you hear me? Jace?
Yep, I think you're back now.
Oh, good.
I lost you there for a minute, but
no,
I
you didn't lose me.
Yeah.
I lost you. I had a cough, and so I hit my mic on mute and forgot to put it back on. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
I heard every word
said. No problem at all.
And did you hear me? I don't know, think you did. Your answer was great. Maybe a better question about what's their question. What's their biggest surprise? They wind up with a text help product, okay? And what's the biggest surprise? You go, oh, my God, I didn't know they did this.
Sure. Well, I think it depends, again, who you're talking to. I hate to always say that. I'm starting to sound like a politician. But the, part of it is how we've changed over the years. Now a lot of our stuff is done through, like, Chrome extensions or Edge extensions. So the deployment and setup is so quick and easy. In a matter of 2 minutes, you can have our stuff pushed out to a school district with 200,000 students, and there they are, and they're ready to go. And then from the surprise of things, again, it'll depend on the product. If I'm ever doing which hopefully I'll get to do a live event at some point in the future.
Hopefully.
Again, recently it's all been on, on video calls. But the things I mentioned, like an Equatio, I can go and write some math on a whiteboard, snap a picture of it with my phone or other digital device, and it instantly turns it into digital math and puts it into a document or a slide or whatever, and then you can read that math out. Out loud as well. It's just always like a wow or an eye opener. In read and write, I think people understand that, well, we can read any text and they like that, and they like that you can change the voice and speed it up and slow it down. But then when they start playing with it, they see like, oh, wow, you can make full-on vocabulary lists and all these other kind of instructional supports and materials with it. So there's just all kinds of little nuggets in there that I think surprise people whenever they really start to use it and start to play with all the ins and outs of the features that it offers.
Yeah, I got a smile on my face because it's true. People are always buy something and say, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize you could do that. And it does. It just answered the question really well. Chase, this is great. I want to thank you, as always, for your time and for the information and all that sort of stuff. Thanks a million, pal. You stay safe down there, please.
You bet. You too, Larry. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
see
pal.
You soon, I hope.
Be good, Jace.
All right, see you.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Jason Carroll, everybody. Jason's the Director of Product Management at our good friends, Text Help, texthelp.com. Good folks. and more important now than ever, I might add. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Join our consortium. It's all about equity. All right, my name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.